trying to figure out how far back to go in my personal exploration of this. I have a friend in the ministry, and he asked me some pointed questions, not necessarily challenging me, but just a friend in the ministry. They don't go here or anything like that. Just asked me some questions about what we do and why. No, whatever we do doesn't bother them. They're not our ministry, and we're not theirs. And he asked me a question. He said, I want you to read a passage. And so we come to, if you look on your Bible, that's a picture of our church. That's old. Remember, we used to have those signs all over the place. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We used to have those. Those are good things to have. But we do have the new roof on there, I think. So it can't be that old. Of course, the grounds look nice, and I appreciate that. So go to Romans chapter 13. Thankful for the Word of God. I've been doing some studying, and I cannot find COVID-19 anywhere from Genesis to Revelation. It's just not in there. I was talking to our evangelist coming up for our missions conference, and he found it. He said, Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he thinks that I don't feel like that is that's what that I feel like that's out of context, and we go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." I mentioned this morning we say we are Bible believers. What do you do when you don't like what the Bible says? That's tough, isn't it? I read Romans chapter 13, verse 1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." That tells me that my president is there because God has allowed him to be there. How many of you agree with that? I'm not asking who you voted for. This isn't about politics. This isn't about medicine. This isn't about science. This is about obedience to the Scriptures. And unfortunately, I feel like I personally have made a mistake, and in making a mistake, I have led many down the same path. A few weeks ago, or this past week, we helped get Madison to college there. And I was driving, and where I went, so did the cars behind me. And it looked like rain one time, so I pulled into a rest stop, and they got out, "What are we doing here?" And I feel like that's kind of what I'm doing with our church. Hey, what are we doing here? The Bible says, "Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good." And I just wonder, did he know about our governor? To which we answer, yes. "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but look at, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers." Who? Those that are in authority. "For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. That's not the only passage that talks about it. We have it written there, 1 Peter chapter 2. Ever look in the mirror and not like what you see? Say every Monday. Ever look in the scriptures and not like what you see? Because it reveals about you. You know, I asked myself this question. Again, I'm not asking who you voted for. But if the guy you voted for was sitting in charge. So let's just play along. Let's play hypothetical situation. Say my guy, the guy I voted for, again, hypothetically speaking, runs on the conservative line, shows up on the Republican line. And he got up there and he says, hey, I've thought about it, I've talked to some doctors, and I think it's a good idea to wear masks when you're in buildings. That's my guy. Voted for him. And I would probably, more than likely, do what he said. But what happens when the guy that you don't like says that? First Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. You know what that means? I answer to God. Isn't that a blessing? Yes and no. One day I'm going to have to answer to God. And God's going to ask each and every one of us, what'd you do with what I gave you? Kind of like this morning, right? The message about loving our neighbor as ourself. And we will not be able to say to the Lord, Lord, I didn't know. And he's going to ask us, hey, did you obey those that I put in authority over you? Well, I didn't know. We cannot plead ignorance. We have it written right here. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. That's what he's talking about. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now we continue. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. I wish it stopped right there. It would make it so much easier. But as we continue, verse 14, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him from the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood. Man, that's an excellent lesson right there, right? Pastor Seatman? You could. Pastor Seatman preached Love the Brotherhood to our young teen boys over at the camp out this year. Fear God, honor the King. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word and how it leads us and guides us and gives us direction in every matters of our life. Lord, I pray that you would help us with these things. Lord, give us the right heart, the right spirit, the right attitude towards your word. And towards the things that are written in it. God, our desire is to obey you in every matter. Lord, help us with that. Help us even though when we don't understand. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. These passages here are very clear. I've had multiple meetings with our deacons. I talked to Pastor Seatman extensively, and I'm having a hard time finding any verses that contradict it. Although, like I said, COVID-19 is nowhere in my scriptures, the command to obey those that are in the authority is. Now here, let me preface this by saying this. We might have to make some adjustments. We're going to have to do some things a little bit differently. May I remind you, the heart of this is not medical, and it's not science, and it's not political. As pure as I can explain to you my heart, it is what I believe God is saying here. And as long as those that are in authority over me, that God has placed there, as long as they do not violate God's word, as uncomfortable and as much as I don't like it, we ought to follow it. As a pastor, I could not properly go to our young people or to our congregation and preach 1 Peter chapter 2 in all honesty, because I know what the governor says and I'm doing something different. Say, what does that mean for us? Well, starting next Sunday, we are going to do our best to stay 6 feet apart. Say, how far? That's like a mile. No, it's not a mile. Honestly, Jacob, can you stand here for a second? Face here, stand here and face that way. Benjamin, can you come here for a second? Okay, stand there. Perfect. That's 6 feet apart. Can you communicate one with another at this length? You couldn't? You think you couldn't talk to him and he could hear you? Can you communicate here?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. I want you to take one step forward. You are now 4 feet away. At this point, Jacob's getting a little nervous. I want you to take one more step closer. This is a violation of Jacob's personal space. People ought not to be standing this close to one another. Right? Like, if I got down right about, it's like, whoa, whoa. 6 feet is okay. Maybe it's one step back, but we can work with 6 feet. You can go sit down. Say, why are you doing this? Because of Romans 13 and 1 Peter chapter 2. You've probably read ahead. Ask you to sit with your own families. Is there anything wrong with that? When we hit sin, you tell me when we're sinning. Do your best to stay 6 feet apart. Bless God, I don't have to stay. Hey, get over your pride. Stay with your own families. If unable to maintain 6 feet apart, a face mask should be worn, unless with members of the same household. Say, we're going back to masks. When we're in transition in our building, yes. Say, I don't like it. Listen, I don't like it either. I'm not doing it because I like it. Say, why are you doing it? Because I have a state guideline set forth from my governor that says, if you want to conduct religious things here, you need to do these things. And I look at this and go, that's not a violation of Scripture. I can do that. I don't like it. I've gone to Africa twice. Anybody ever go to Africa? Great. As I'm walking into church service, There are young people coming in with no shoes on. Brother Matichera, is that not true? Amen. Amen. If we went in and said, hey, everyone's got to put a pair of shoes on, they would be like, oh, those are uncomfortable. I never wear shoes. But here we are every single service wearing shoes. We can wear a mask in and out of the building. Say, why are you doing that? Because I don't want to get into the science of the masks. It's not about that. It's not about the politics of who's saying it even. It's not even about the medicine behind it. It's a state mandate, and it doesn't violate Scripture. Okay, I'm going to do it. No hugging or handshaking. Pastor Seatman was so gracious to bring up the holy kiss. No, we're not doing any of that. That has never been okay or acceptable, except within your own family. Jacob and Benjamin, come here. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm going to visit a couple churches and walk up to friends, and they do this. Bump elbows. We can greet one another without that. We're going to get these little stickers on the floor, kind of like keeping traffic moving in the same direction. I'm going to ask for your help with this. I'm going to ask that you go along with this for the sake of unity and help. If you're looking for loopholes and areas to cut corners, I hope by the end of this little presentation that I'm putting together that you get my heart in it. And that you're not looking for ways out, but ways to kind of help with it. Here's where we deviate from the state guidelines. The state guideline says we have a maximum occupancy of 33%. My Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The state says this, but God's word now says this, to which we separate. I believe that there's a spirit of unity to have our church together in service. Our facility, we could not conduct services as such at 33%. How would we do that? A through H is 9 o'clock. H through O is 10 o'clock. And P through Z is 11 o'clock. We would lose the assembling of ourselves together. And I feel like that, according to what I read in the Scriptures, is a violation of God's law, His mandate upon us. You think coming to church is God's mandate? I do. I do. I don't think you come to church to prove your Christianity. You come to church because you are a Christian. And there's a blessing in assembling together. So much more as we see the day approaching, that verse says. So in the spirit of keeping unity and the fulfillment of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, we are going to say, no, we're not going to stop at 33%. We're not going to hold services outside. Say, why not? Because there's no guarantee it's going to be nice out. We would have to cancel services. I'm not, remember Mother's Day? How many of you remember Mother's Day? Anybody has a picture from Mother's Day? The Williams were mid-blizzard. We're not going to hold drive-in services. Why? Because our parking lot is a horseshoe shape. It wouldn't work like that. We're not going to have sign-up for seating. These are some of the recommendations. These parts are recommendations. This is a state mandate that I'm saying, no, we're not going to do that because God says. See, that's where our lines separate. When the law goes against God, but until then I can follow along, even if it makes me a little uncomfortable. I would prefer, me personally, I feel like I can conduct my vehicle in such a way to operate at high speeds. But in respect to the law, most times I'm close to what that number says. It says that we should limit singing. My Bible tells me in 1 Chronicles that we ought to worship the Lord. So we're not going to stop singing. No, we're not going to at all. We're going to still use our hymnals. It says to remove paper text. But we will ask you to wash your hands. We're actually going to do a new program, a ministry. It's called Adopt a Hymnal. See, what does that mean? If you would like, you can have a family hymnal. We have some. Do we have some out there? You can take that hymnal and you can take it home with you. And if you can remember to bring that hymnal back with you every single time, and that'll be your family hymnal. And when all this is said and done, you can keep it. We're going to order new ones. Say, what's wrong with my? You think my hymnal's going to be dirty? No, we just needed new hymnals anyways, and this is an opportunity to roll those over anyways. The bindings are breaking. So you can adopt a hymnal. Say, how much does it cost? Nothing. Doesn't cost anything. But if you do take it, it would be helpful. The point of it is to bring it back so you're not touching multiple hymnals. We're going to ask that you already do this anyways, sit in the similar seats each week. Not sin. Mrs. Bear is like, I've been praying for that for years. Listen to me, though. If someone comes in, a visitor, we are not going to compromise our testimony for sake of maintaining a seat. Hey, that's my seat. No, we don't do that. We're going to do our best to make guests and visitors feel as comfortable as possible. A couple weeks ago, we had a couple come in with, Jess, are you back there? Is Clyde with you or no? All right. Jessica and Clyde invited a couple, and they came in. They were in mass. They didn't want to shake hands with anybody. They sat out there. You could tell just talking to them, they were a little bit uncomfortable from what they saw. And I was standing up here and I watched them walk out in the middle of service and didn't come back in. Lord smote my heart. I felt bad. I thought, because I am unwilling to make someone in their mind feel safe and secure, there's an opportunity that they missed out on hearing the gospel. I praise the Lord. The Lord didn't have to do this. A week later, she came and she ended up coming forward and praying. Maybe you saw her here. Lord, I would have carried that for a long time. I don't know. I'm not sure if you've paid attention to the climate. But the Bible said, did you see what it said there? It says, for so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. I don't want anyone to be able to accuse us of not caring and not fulfilling our civil guidelines. I want to be a good citizen, too. I was talking to a dear friend, a pastor friend of mine, south of town, and they had a little bit of an outbreak there. I called him today, and he got back to me this afternoon, and I asked him, I said, what would you do different? And a lot of the things that he mentioned were already on our slides. Thankful for that. He said it's a real thing. He said, Nick, he goes, I believe it's not if anymore, it's just when. It's a virus that's going to come through. But it would be a shame if somehow what we did or our negligence in not doing something brought a reproach and a shame upon Christianity. I want to be blameless in every area. And I believe by following these guidelines, well, I'm not even asking if you agree with them. That's not what it's about. Say, why are you doing them? In obedience to the authority that's over me. God. And he put somebody under him. So when you come in, we ask that you'd wear a mask. We're going to have designated door holders. Say, it's a fancy word for usher. Just don't touch the handles. We're going to make hand sanitizer available. We're going to limit two people. Anybody know how many? Say, two people in the bathroom. What, are you crazy? It's going to take forever. Anybody know how many toilets are each in each of our bathrooms? Two. We have two. Brother Rodell just said three. That's the guy that's been doing it. There it is. Found him. Brother Rodell, that's a sink. There's two toilets in each. Two toilets in each. If you go into the bathroom and you see two people in there, you know what you do? You just step outside and just wait your turn. Can we not do that? It's recommended that we not meet in small, congregate a large amount of people in a small area. Our bathrooms are small. We don't want to meet like that. Is it working good out there, Jim? All right. So, unless you're helping your own child, listen, if there's a fire, all these guidelines go out. It says it within there, in the state guide. Hey, in case of an emergency or something, listen, don't be looking for your mask, right? Get out of the building. If someone is choking, pull your mask off and help them, okay? Let's be realistic with this stuff. I hope you understand the spirit of it. Masks are available if you forgot them. And we're not charging, right? Okay, we might charge at school. We'll see. We'll see how the kids will come in. Okay, masks recommended while in transition. That means moving throughout the building. But you can remove them when you get to your seat. Okay? When you come in, wear a mask. When you get to your seat, take them off. Say, why? Because that's what the governor said. And God put the governor over us. And I'm going to obey God. We're upgrading our air filters to HEPA filters. Fancy. That just means double cost. That's what HEPA means. It's Latin for double. Offering baskets are still located outside of the sanctuary. Online giving is still available. Someone asked me this past week, is there a charge to give online? Yes. It costs us 30 cents plus 3%. Say, do you take that out of our giving? No, we just incur that as a cost. Like, it's no big deal. I mean, it's okay to do that. If you're going back and forth between, do I put the check in the bowl or do I pay online? Out of convenience, you can pay online, no problem. But if you don't care, man, it would save us 3% if you put it in that plate, okay? It's occurred through the PayPal app. That's what it is. So it's that was the, and this is a different thing, but PayPal was the, I felt, the most secure and most familiar in stepping into the online giving. I didn't want to get into something and have it be, that is so widely used, and I just felt like that was most recognized and known. And because of that, you're going to pay a little bit, all right? So those baskets are out there, and you can help us out with that. If you have questions about that, you can let me know. Number six. We're going to be posting signs. I brought one. You might see a couple of these. It's okay. We can still sing to Jesus, and we can still listen to the preached word of God. All right? You might see one of these around. You've probably seen them at Wegmans and other places. But we're going to post signage to help remind us of good habits. We're going to continue to clean regularly. Really appreciate our cleaners. And now if I start saying names, I'm going to miss somebody. But Mrs. Huber has really taken it upon herself to, after every service, she goes through and she cleans this stuff, which brings us to, we're going to get to this. We're going to limit the use of the extended building. Say, what does that mean? Like tonight, there is absolutely no reason anybody should be in the gym. Stay out of the classrooms. Stay out of the kitchen. It just helps us, I say us, it helps her and the team that she has cleaning to be able to clean an area, leave it, and not have to re-clean it. It takes a long time to do that kind of stuff. And so if you can, on non-church time, stay out of the gym, the kitchen, the classrooms, that would be a huge help. We are going to continue to suspend food fellowships at church. We're going to limit the number of people in the nursery. What that means is after service, mom, when you're in there and your five-year-old comes running to come play in the nursery, can you keep them out? All we want are the people that need nurserying and the nurseryers. I don't know if those are real words. Rhonda, those are real words? Okay. So the people receiving the nursery and those that are working in there, those are the ones that we want in there. It is not an indoor theme park or anything like that for anybody, okay? So please, we're going to try and limit that. Again, the people in the nursery. Next slide. Okay. They recommend that we give papers out. I'm going to use these two words. Ready? Self-government. Okay? So, if you have had COVID-19 symptoms in the last 14 days, please stay home. If you tested positive, and I forgot to adjust this. This was one of the ones. If you've tested positive for COVID-19, not like ever, but within the last, 14 days? Stay home. But after Mr. Lauk, you wouldn't have been able to, because back in March you did test positive. April, that's what I meant. Tested positive for COVID. But once he was cleared by his doctor, he could come back. Okay? So that's, I'll have to add a little bit of thought there. And then if you come in close contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID-19, you got to stay out for 5 days, you and your family. That's what all businesses are doing right now. Okay? That's what happens. But instead of giving you the little check mark, we're not taking your temperatures. If you don't feel well, just stay home. That's good just personal practice anyways, right? If I'm coughing up a lung, just stay home. That's the way to go. All right. This is currently slide 8 of 8. So we're at the end. All right? Yeah, go ahead, look at the clock. We are changing our choirs to specials. Say, oh, I don't like that. Well, I see it as an opportunity. Remember our faces of encouragement? Those were a blessing. My kids, I was telling Pastor Sheetman, my kids watched their little Gideon skit multiple times. They could almost quote it. This is my favorite part. It's like they were watching a movie. All of a sudden, we found little actors and things amongst us. By suspending our congregation or our choir up here, it'll give or maybe propel some of our people to try singing in a special, maybe a family together. Maybe you put an ensemble together, and then we're going to have to space you out about 12 feet apart. That's what we're going to do. We also had the great idea of maybe doing some, now these don't normally go together, but congregational choirs. Say, what does that mean? Well, instead of everybody coming up and packing up real close here, we'll sing right from our seats. We'll try that maybe in the near future. So imagine if we say, all right, time for youth choir, and Mr. Williams stands up here and he directs all those ladies and gentlemen just standing at their seat right where they're at. We could try something maybe like that. We're just going to be creative, and we're not going to get bitter over it. We're not going to get upset about it. We're not going to stomp out in here and say, bless God, I'm not going back to Walker Bible. If there's something you want to discuss with me personally, I am 100% willing to talk about it. I warned our deacons of the danger of the what-if game. Well, what if this happens? And then what if and we can what-if ourselves to death. But let's just try and make this happen as best we can. Moving forward. So we're starting adult Sunday school on September 20th. That's not this Sunday, but next Sunday, because next Sunday we have a meeting with the teachers of how to incorporate these things. We're still going to have Sunday school classrooms with little kids in there. And we're just going to take the chairs, instead of putting them right here, we're going to put them right here. We could do that, right? We can do that. We're starting Sunday school. We're going to be starting adult Sunday school back at the 10 o'clock hour. Young adults is going to kick off on Friday, September 18th, and there's a lot to be said about that. We're excited about that. Very soon, we're going to have the Lord's Supper and baptism. So how do we do that? We talked about it as deacons. We got a plan for the Lord's Supper. It's been way too long since we've had that. It's been a long time since we had a baptism. Little Melody Snook, is she here tonight? No. She can't wait to be baptized. She got saved how long ago? A couple weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? She messages me on Facebook. When can I get baptized? I think she means baptized. So we've been talking through that, and we had a nice little conversation here this morning, talked about what baptism is and why it's important, She can't wait. When can we do that? Can we do it tonight? No, hold on. Give me a minute. So we're going to have that. We have a meeting with our Sunday school workers next Sunday to figure out and help talk through some of these new things. And we're going to be prepared with questions. And look at this next section. Helpful tips. Here, watch. I think I can do it. Here. Hold on. Let's see. We'll go red. Did it work? Oh yeah, look at that. Helpful tips. Okay, that's good. So we're going to look on trying to be helpful to one another. Hey, we're all in this. We see the things all over. I don't want to sound like that cliche, but we are all doing this together, and we're going to do this together. This is no reason to get disgruntled or upset. No, we're going to follow these guidelines, and we're still going to worship and love God together. But we're just going to come in with a mask, and we're going to sit down, and we're not going to hug, and we're going to start Sunday school back up. Say, I can't do that. Again, it's not about politics. It's not about science. It's not about medicine. It's about obedience to God, and as best as I possibly can, I want to follow what God says. And when he says, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, I got to listen to him. Because it tells me, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I'm not doing it. I'm not even doing it for his sake. I'm doing it for God's sake. And we're going to train our ushers on how to best help fulfill these new guidelines. You think this is a big thing? This isn't a big thing. It's actually very minor. The things that Peter was writing about when he wrote these, the things he was having to deal with, in no way compared to what we have to deal with. And until the governor violates the scripture, that's where we deviate. But until then, I'll be matter of fact. You won't hear this from me starting Wednesday going forward because I want to be a help and encouragement to our school people, but I don't like the masks either. Starting Wednesday, I love the masks. And I will continue to love the mask until the last day of school, and then I won't like the masks anymore. But until then, why? Because it allows us to have school. Listen, I understand. But honestly, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal. But to God it is. Think of it like this. I'm obeying and trusting God. Because God knew today. He knew about today. He knew what was going to be here today, and he wrote those verses still in there. So, I'm going to do them. I'm going to do them as best as I possibly can for the honor and glory of God himself. We talked about it as deacons. Do we open it up for questions? And we said, sure. Well, they said, sure. I cowered a little bit. Any questions? Again, Mrs. Faulkner. We said no. We said no. She asked, do we have to wear masks when we work in the nursery? No, but that's why we want less people in the nursery. You know what I mean? So that's why we don't want a slew of extra people. We want the little babies. Little children are less susceptible to that. Again, though, in none of the readings that I saw did it address children's ministries or anything like that. Okay? Yes. Rhonda.
Would you prefer that the people who work the first service stay on for the second service
or change over? No. I'm okay with the changeover. Okay? Sarah?
Can the instruments
still play? Yeah, we said the instruments can still play. Nate, you got to stop dropping spit on your foot, though. Okay? I don't think that was safe to begin with before. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe you could get a spittoon. or something like that. If you ever saw Nate's shoes after he plays the trumpet, the one shoe, that would be, I think it's your left shoe, isn't it? Is it your left or right?
Yes.
All right, very good.
Roy puts on
the curve. He puts on the... Yeah. All right. Yes, we'll keep the instruments. We're going to keep the instruments. All right. All right. Settle down. All right, Mr. Rodell. No, we're not spacing out the rows. No, that's why we're going to ask you to sit together as a family. All right? Yep. Mr. McDowell. Adult choir is canceled.
Just want to make sure.
Yep.
That's not really a question.
Oh, okay. It's more of a statement.
More of a statement.
Yep. All right. Mr. Roger?
That would be my question. Just praise the Lord that we can sing from across the room.
Yep. We're going to have to work through that, you and I, and you know, maybe the deacons or Pastor Seatman, about how we can incorporate that. But I am looking to, again, I see it as an opportunity to maybe get some more ensembles together for the honor and glory of God. We're not looking for Handel's Messiah or the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, any of that. But we are looking for people that with a pure heart want to worship the Lord together. And if you're in that, if you want to have a instrument special. We have some very talented musicians over here. God blessed some musicians. And if they want to put something together, they can do that. We can put them, spacing them out, okay? So there's that. Ed? In my conscience, because it said for conscience sake, I feel like if someone did get sick here, I personally feel good about showing these are the guidelines, these are the steps, and here's why I did not do this part. And I feel like I could answer to them and to God appropriately. So to say there is no, I don't know of any even churches that have had or experienced any sort of legal reaction in our state, in our area, for doing far less than what we're proposing. Does that answer your question?
To a certain degree, because, you know, Jackie and I, her mom's church actually went behind the pastor's back because they didn't agree with where he believed God was leading.
Yep. Yep.
Do we have something in place because, you know, we're not in agreement with that based on what scripturally we see?
So we would have to see, waiting for it to find my laptop. If we could, like, what you're asking is, like, are we legally in trouble for not keeping the 33%. I don't know how far they would go with that. I think a lot of churches are not doing that. But I feel like the government there has overstepped what God says. And that's why we deviate from that. So I don't know what would happen if they came in and said, hey, you can only have... Right now what's happening is people get citations. So it'll start off with a warning. Now, then you'll get a $100 fine, and then a $250 fine, and then a $500 fine, or whatever. No one in our area is experiencing that. So I don't think they're necessarily holding it to that right now. Okay. I'm going to skip on your question, Isaiah, all right? Maybe you could ask your dad later. Mrs. K.
Unless I missed it. Nursery workers don't have to wear masks.
Yep. We're going to talk about all those details about Sunday school and how we're going to conduct Sunday school next week at that meeting, okay? So we're going to work on fine details about that. So our Sunday school teachers be thinking about, hey, what are some things that I can do to adjust to make, try and follow in with what we're doing here, okay? We're going to talk about snacks. We're going to talk about all of that, okay? Another question, Ms. Jabisky? Junior church, we're still keeping junior church. We're going to spread out the chairs a little bit more, though, okay? So to make it a little more echoey for you. Brother, yeah. Joe? You will have teens on Wednesday, and we're talking about giving you or changing up the room to make it give you a bigger room, okay? So that we're trying to work with that. This goes into place a week from today. So next Sunday, okay? Next Sunday morning, all right? Other questions? Ms. Baer?
We use those doors.
Can what?
We use those doors.
You can use... Yeah, you could come. You can use those doors. We can make sure that those are unlocked. Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, you know, if you just come directly in here,
you know, that's another thing. Yeah. No, that's... No. Yeah, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Another question. What? Yeah, we'll probably need someone. If someone wants to volunteer to... We have our usher meeting next Sunday, so we'll try and get someone stationed at that spot there before that and be able to... We'll put one person there. We don't need, like, three people down there. We can just put one here and one down there, all right? They really do... They recommended designated pick-up and drop-off spots, so if we can limit it to here and down there, that would be great. Okay. Another question? Sam?
So if we're unable to maintain 6 feet, we have to put on a mask. Mm-hmm. So how does that work if chairs on 6 feet apart when I'm sick? Do I have to wear a mask except by not singing?
No, once you get to your seat, we're good with you taking the mask off. It's all transition. Okay? Mrs. Rice? Sure. Yeah. I think there's pew rentals, right? I mean, we've seen that before. That'll help pay off the building. That'd be a blessing. All right. Another. Nathan.
Are you still not going to live stream the service?
Yeah, we're not doing the live stream anymore. We got rid of that. We only had one person on it, maybe a service. So, okay. Brother Rodell. Yep.
What's that look like?
Yep. Well, we have nice slides, and we have, no, they, so that's what we're kind of going to ask of everybody. If you want to fellowship, go outside and fellowship. Talk outside, it's a nice time, right now. In a few, probably in another month, you're not going to want to be, I mean, look at how dark it is right now. Now, listen, we didn't start church till, or like open your Bibles till after 7 tonight. I'm just letting you know. But it's getting darker and darker, and the ability to play on the playgrounds will become obsolete. I'm not going to stop you from playing outside and fellowshipping outside. They really recommend open air areas. So I'm okay with that, but pretty soon it's going to get cold and dark, and you're just going to want to go home. Okay? All right? So if you could help us out by after service, get your stuff and head outside and talk, or get your stuff and meander through and just vacate the building if you can, in a maybe a little timely fashion. All right? Another question? We have discussed, again, we've probably spent a couple hours as deacons talking about these things. George Sutliff is our deacon remotely, and is in agreement with these things. If you have any questions, you can talk to me. I would love to talk to you about any of this stuff. You can talk to any of our deacons, Pastor Seatman, and our deacons are Rick Seatman III, Rick Seatman Jr., Jay Kobachewski, and then you can also talk to Pastor Seatman or myself, and we would love to talk with you about all those things. Let's be careful that we are not stumbling over anthills. The things that we're talking about here tonight aren't that big of a deal. If you want to make them a big deal, so be it. But I don't want to get myself in trouble in the multitude of words, right? But sometimes as Americans, we feel like This isn't even about First Amendment. This is about my obedience to God. I know what the First Amendment says. We have the right to worship. But so did God, and I'm taking the validity and the confidence that I have from God Himself. And let's be careful that we not allow pride to take a root in our hearts, that we miss out on something. In disobedience to God, what He told us right here. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Jay, do you have a thought? Yeah.
So if there's somebody around you, like not everybody's here, that's Sunday morning, that's your Sunday night, that's your Monday.
Oh, yeah.
If there's somebody that, you know, maybe so-and-so's not here, they need to know this for next Sunday, reach out to them.
Yeah. If you would like a copy of any of this, give me, is that sheet out there? Okay, you printed it. We're going to put a sheet out at that little podium. Just write your name and email, and I will send you this high quality, well-researched PowerPoint. Hope you have pages or whatever it is. Keynote is the version of it. All right, let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Pastor Steatman.
One more.
Yes, please. Yes.
Don't take the one at your seat.
The hymnals that are available for adoption are in the window. Grab a card for Louis Frediani at the same time. This is not to stock your shelves at home. It is to take a hymnal home, use that one, and then bring it back. Maybe you can learn some new songs. Again, it's not that big of a deal. I just want to let you know. I feel like it is a big deal in obedience to the Scriptures. What does God say? What are we going to try and do? Minor adjustments. But we're still worshiping the Lord. We're still preaching Jesus. That has not changed one bit. All right. Rick Seatman III, will you dismiss us in prayer?